and welcome to episode one of the fantastic All Singing, All Dancing Heroes of Ruin podcast. My name is Mike Oldman, your community manager, and joining me today, and in fact for every episode going forwards,
ever,
is the very lovely, the very robust Alistair Cornish. Alistair.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello out there in Radioland.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they're in Radioland.
Really?
It could be an internet
land. What happened to everyone who was in Radioland?
They moved on.
Oh, I hope they're all right.
Video killed them.
I heard they killed the radio star.
That's true, but the stars were made.
Radioland just crumbled.
After the stars were gone.
I've seen every story. I know how it works.
The infrastructure just fell apart. Yeah. So, yeah, Heroes of Ruin. That's what we're here to talk about. We should first explain who the hell you are, because I'm community manager. We understand that. People see my face and hear my voice quite a lot. They're going to hear yours more, but actually, why?
Why? Well, my job title is external designer.
You design things outside.
Outside.
You work
outside
in the park.
Box. Yeah, I basically get to work outside on a laptop, mostly in pub gardens or communal parks and other areas.
Sounds pretty good.
No, so I work at the publisher side, and I just help the guys kind of make the game be all it can be. Some kind of fresh pair of eyes, and I get to sit outside some of the sort of stresses and strains and constraints of being on the dev team, and hopefully take a look at the kind of bigger picture, and also help represent brands, brand and marketing concerns, and other publisher side concerns as well, and hopefully give the guys some good advice.
And you're there from the very beginning as well, aren't you? You're sort of very early
from paper
stages.
Paper concept. All the way through.
That's quite cool. In fact, maybe we should talk about the paper concept at some point. Maybe not in this episode, maybe a future one. But I feel like it's episode one. We've announced the game now. We did our E3 thing. That was wonderful. We didn't get to go.
No.
Which is a shame.
I don't know, the hustle and bustle.
And the illness. It's the flu, isn't it?
Oh,
it's the E3 flu.
Everyone gets the flu, everyone gets the disease.
So we weren't there, but we have announced. Everyone's seen it. It's great. Heroes of Ruin is here. What is Heroes of Ruin? I feel like we should probably explain.
So the setup is, you're playing as a kind of a mercenary or an outcast. And they were kind of, you're basically an unlikely hero.
A hero of ruin?
You may say that.
I will.
And there are multiple characters to choose from, I should say, straight off the bat. So when I say you are a mercenary, it doesn't mean there's only one character. So there are four character classes, if you like, to choose from. Each of which you can heavily customise, but I'm sure we're going to talk about that in way more detail later on.
We will.
So for now, let's just say that you will be playing as a mercenary. So for whatever reason, you're a bit of an outcast, a bit of a kind of dark horse, and you're drawn to the city of Nexus, which is having a crisis because its Lord Founder, Lord Ataraxis, has basically mysteriously taken ill. And they've been scrambling to find a cure for it, and obviously there are bound to be dark reasons for this illness. I don't think there's any spoilers there. It's very unusual that it's happened, and they haven't been able to find a cure. They've tried everything they can, and so they've sent the call out basically to the kind of four corners of the land, because no one in the city can do anything about it. So they've just opened it up to everyone and said, "Please help. If you do, kind of riches beyond measure await."
It's a fabulous reward.
So yeah, basically, a fabulous reward. And again, all the mercenaries have their own particular reward in mind, what they'd use it for, why they want to answer the call. So you come literally kind of fresh off the boat to the city of Nexus, trying to make your fortune, find your fortune by helping out with this particular crisis.
Okay. Now, four characters we've mentioned there. We're not going to go into too much detail on the characters because we are going to be sort of going in depth on those over the coming months.
But we can do episode two. We'd have bled that, everything in episode
that,
one.
That's true. And then there's that difficult third episode.
That was always a tricky third episode.
So, so we won't go into much detail on those. But there is someone, there's something, I believe, for everyone in those projects. We've got, let's break down the characters, the character classes. You've seen them, you've seen the look of them on the artwork
the
that
awesome
we've
concept art.
Put out there, which is pretty damn cool. In fact, we should probably mention that's done by
Ardy Granov. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Ardy Granov.
He'll be in touch shortly.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear from him soon. Fabulous comic book artist, did all the, most notably, I suppose, all the Iron Man redesign stuff.
So if you've seen the movies, Iron Man 1 and probably Iron Man 2.
Yes, he's responsible for the suit.
And he also has done tons of covers, X-Men covers and all sorts. So he's
cool.
He's very cool. Very unique style.
Hence why our artwork's awesome. But so the characters in the artwork, then we've got four of them. We've got a gunslinger,
mm-hmm.
A vindicator.
Yeah,
that's right. An architect,
mm-hmm.
and a savage.
Correctamundo.
They're pretty cool. So they all have different play styles.
Yep,
depending on which one you choose, they all look a little bit different, and obviously we've mentioned
a little bit different. That's an understatement.
They look a little bit different. I mean, the female architect and the savage. Yeah, there's a few differences there, but that's fine.
One's like a giant lion man.
Lion Man the Vindicator. I wish we'd called him Lion Man instead of the Vindicator, to be honest. But that's okay, I still will call him Lion Man.
I like Vindicator.
Yeah, we haven't really said exactly what the game is. We've got the setup.
That's a good point.
There are screens online and there is a description, so we're presuming by the time you've reached this podcast you actually do know a little bit about it. But if you don't, what is Heroes of Ruin?
Okay, so, I mean, it's... When you get into the gameplay, at its heart, it's an action-adventure that's heavy on kind of real-time hands-on combat, viewed from a sort of third-person isometric perspective, because there are going to be enemies all around you attacking from all angles and using all kinds of evil attacks and spells and whatnot to try and bring you down. So you need to have good kind of awareness around you. You're going to end up journeying to various different levels with different settings, defeating a host of creatures. There are something like 227 creature types in the game, including kind of bosses and things, so
it's a decent amount.
That's a decent amount of enemies, you'll be trekking across all kinds of different environments, slaying creatures, gaining in strength, so you as you kill creatures they'll drop loot for you, you'll earn experience. So it's one of those games where you can find ridiculous amounts of kind of armor and weapon and gear parts. I think there's well over 100,000, so, and when you consider that you can have different combinations of those, you end up with kind of, you know, almost unlimited, like you're in the kind of billions and billions,
sure.
silly big numbers with lots of zeros on the end of them.
So if you like collecting stuff
and personalising,
you
know,
leveling up, all that, we've got you covered.
Before
we even talk about any sort of trading or connectivity aspects of the game, of which there is a large portion as well. It's not a solo game. You can play it solo if you want, but if you are like other people out there, knowing other people out there, you could play with those other people out there.
That's true. If you don't live under a rock and if you have friends, you can play with them. So it's really worth mentioning that when it comes to... Because I know some games have a kind of separate single-player components of the game and a separate multiplayer component, and sometimes one of those is kind of smaller and suffers kind of, you know, at the expense of another. So, often the single-player campaign, people feel, is like a tutorial for the multiplayer mode.
Yeah,
that's the main focus.
Or the focus is single-player campaign and multiplayer's tacked on.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's... It's with nothing like that at all. I mean, there's basically complete content parity between single-player and multiplayer. So what that means is this, you do the same quests, go through the same levels, fight the same monsters. Now, it does scale, of course, so if more people join your party and you go off to kick some monster butt and level up together, then there are going to be more monsters that you're going to face. They're going to be tougher. Attacks are going to do more damage to keep it a challenge, obviously. Otherwise, you could run rampant. But it's the same. It's the same same number of hours of gameplay, same quests and everything. So you're not missing out if you only want to play it solo, and nor are you missing out if you ever want to play it, if you only want to play it multiplayer.
And you can flick between those.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, exactly. So so it's drop in, drop out. So at any time, your buddies can come in and join you, or you can kick them all out. If you want to be antisocial and play solo.
I like to think of the game as being an intelligent game itself. It's the HAL 9000 of video games, because there's an awful lot of dynamic stuff.
It did kill me in space once. So
there you go, and it loved it.
Yeah, it did. It mocked me.
But this whole scaling for multiple opponents, not multiple opponents, multiple co-op partners, I suppose, of different levels as well. The actual environments themselves dynamically changing when you sort of go into them, you're going to have a fresh experience no matter what you do, and I think the important thing to get across is that you're going to have a quality experience no matter what you do. That nothing suffers. There's nothing you can do where you go, okay, I want to play with three friends who are all savages, and the game goes, no, that's weird, can't do it, you're overpowered, whatever. It's all covered, and you're going to have a tip-top experience regardless.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about that.
Then please.
No, no,
do.
So
another time. No, please carry on.
We've got time to fill here.
Wait, can I just stop you there? Please, the it's yours. The stage is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, Alistair Cornish.
You just derailed my train of thought. Oh, no. What the hell was I going to talk about?
I was aiming for
it. I have to say heck.
Dynamicism.
Dynamicism. Well, it was that, and it was also... It was about the... What you mentioned there, that the game will never say, oh, no, that's a bad idea. So one of the things that we set out to do at the start of this game was make the multiplayer as kind of barrier-free as possible. What we mean by that is in some games, if your buddy's been playing for... whatever, you know, 8 hours or something, and you've just started, you can't play together because he's in a different region to you, or he's way higher level than you, so it either won't let you play at all, or you can join him in going through some of his levels and fighting his creatures, and they're going to just kind of kill you in one hit, which is no fun for anyone.
Apart from the creatures.
They're loving it, yeah, it's a picnic. So to get around that, we basically scale things so you can... you can join people regardless of progress, and you can join them regardless of different levels of experience. And damage is scaled, so you will take more damage than them, but instead of an enemy doing, let's say, you know, 9,999 points of damage at a certain level, he'll do, let's say, I don't know, 30% of a health bar.
Right.
And then your armor can modify that down or up. And we can tweak it just to make sure that even low-level characters can still adventure with high-level characters. Because we just didn't want any barriers to entry. We wanted you to be able to play with your friends regardless of when you bought it or which character you picked or any of that jazz.
That sounds like some pretty good jazz.
It's pretty good jazz.
So, okay, that's quite cool. So we've...
That's one half. I haven't even talked about the dynamisms. I know, so much.
I'm literally blown. It's like you've lit the fuse on your stick of dynamicism.
Yeah, and
it's about to explode into a plethora.
Of dynamisms.
That's about right.
Yep.
All right, hit me with the other half.
Okay.
Get your hands off me.
I'll hit you with my best shot. Who was it?
Pat Benatar.
There you go.
For those of you too young to remember Pat Benatar, please Google Pat Benatar and certainly listen to Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Kick back, relax, put some cans on and enjoy the soothing sound. Pat Benatar.
All right, proceed.
So... Mike mentioned there dynamicism, dynamically generated levels and content. So, what do we mean by that? Well, one thing that is really cool about Heroes of Ruin is we wanted everyone to have a really personal experience when they went through it. So, it wasn't a case of, you know, everyone fought the same creatures at the same time, went through the same levels in exactly the same way. So, with that in mind, the levels are dynamically created. So, that means that the route I have to take through a level, the look of the level, where various rooms are, corridors and other areas of a level will be different when I play it to when you play it. Not only that, but the kind of enemy encounters I have, how many spawn, what type they are, how difficult one particular area of a level will be, as opposed to other areas, again, will be different for me than it was for you. And of course, dynamic items that you can break open to find loot, you know, treasure chests or pots or whatever that can hold things. Where they turn up and what they hold, again, it's going to be different between our two games. And what enemies drop will be different as well. And it's not just, interesting, it's not just between our two games. It's within my own game. So if I choose to go back into a level that I've cleared, which you can do at any time because you want to see if you can get a loot drop that you missed the first time or do some exploring, see if you can find some more treasure chests, or you just want to go and just really enjoyed it, you want to go through it again and hack up some more creatures to get some more experience, toughen yourself up before the next section of the game, then you don't have to do that. But if you want to go back in, you absolutely can. And the cool thing is, that dynamic approach is taken again. So you're not going to be bored because you know the layout and you know all the enemies and you know what you're going to get, because it's going to be different each time. So that's something that's really, really exciting. So potentially, if you love it and if you're down with the gameplay, then there's kind of unlimited combinations, really, if you want to keep delving into the levels.
So back up. Wait a second. You're telling me if I buy this game,
yes,
I need never buy another game.
That's right, unless you like, for example, racing. Racing. Or flying. Okay. Or things which the game doesn't.
So we can, let's get that out of the way now. There's no racing in Heroes of Ruin.
No secret cart levels.
Whatsoever. No. But that's cool. And I think the important part is that going back in your own game and playing again and having a different experience is kind of cool. We've got, well, we'll talk about again, and, you know, apologies for teasing about future episodes and that tricky third episode, but we'll be talking about things like our website challenges and some of the cool stuff we're doing with metrics later down the line, which will require you to go back and do stuff again if you want to reap the best rewards, I suppose.
Just challenge yourself to play in a different way.
In a different way, yeah. Get the most out of your game. All right, so that's cool. We've got so four-player co-op, you mentioned, mm-hmm. that's with buddies and with complete strangers.
Yes, so it's you can do it locally or you can do it over the internet and find awesome. Random strangers to grief you. And
you can chat with the 3DS microphone.
Yes, yep.
I can go, that's my sword.
You can. Oh, that reminds me of another cool thing.
Oh, though. Man.
There's lots of cool things.
We'll be here all day.
We will be here all day. On that note, actually, so one of the things that we're really aware of is we don't want people, when you're playing with strangers or even cheeky friends... Everyone's got a cheeky friend. You know who they are. Who might come in and mess your game up from time to time. We wanted to kind of avoid that as well. So what happens is, for example, if you find gold... It's kind of divided up equally and automatically to all other players. If you still want to kind of race someone to the gold or grab all the gold, you'll actually get a little bit of a reward. But it's not like you're the only one who gets rewarded. And even more importantly, when it comes to weapon and item and gear drops, if I'm playing a savage and the savage uses his kind of brutal punch daggers and these kind of weapons that are strapped to his fists, I'm more likely to get those items dropped. Whereas if you're playing a vindicator who uses his kind of giant two-handed sword to just right. hack enemies to pieces, you're more likely to get that kind of drop thing. It's not always geared to your character, so you will find items for other characters. So if you do end up with a weapon that one of your buddies would like, you can go into our trading system and give it to him that way. So
that's cool, because I mean, there's nothing worse than when playing, you know, some sort of adventure or RPG game or whatever, and picking up loot that you either can't use at the time or you can never use ever.
Yeah,
that's just kind of rubbish. And obviously, similarly, it doesn't make sense for you to just be picking up stuff that, oh wow, these trousers are exactly my size. Oh, that's a watch that fits my wrist perfectly. Oh, it's my favourite thing. Like, if everything was just tailored exactly for you, it'd be kind of weird as well. The important thing is that it's not useless, so you can swap it with friends.
Yep, you can sell it to shops. And
sell it.
The other thing we wanted is, you know, we didn't want people messing around in their inventories. I mean, you know, this is about having fun, killing monsters, going on quests, leveling up your mercenary, personalising. It's not about sitting there fiddling around with inventory slots and stuff. So we've got loads of really cool, quick kind of shortcuts and ways to kind of speed up and make everything a bit smoother. So what I mean by that is, if you do walk over something on the floor and an item, let's say it's a gun for the gunslinger, and in your party at the moment there are no gunslingers, you can just press... at the moment it's bound to sort of down on the D-pad, and you do a quick sell, and so it doesn't go into your inventory and take up slots, you have to worry about it, you just kind of sell it quickly. If you wanted to, because you knew that your other buddy who you're going to play with later on is a gunslinger, you can absolutely pick it up and keep it in inventory and give it to him, but you can it's not about filling around with it, so you can sell stuff or equip stuff directly off the floor, or you can keep it in inventory and trade it with other players, or take it back to town to sell it for even more money, or even use it in the Traders Network, which is something we'll probably talk about a bit later on.
Yes.
It's a special shop, folks. Very special shop.
It is a very special shop. All right, well, I mean, I suppose the other obvious thing that we've not mentioned at all, which is kind of obvious at this point, is this is a 3DS title, and therefore, this is no ordinary video right. game.
It's in 3D.
It's in 3D.
There's a whole other dimension.
Now, don't be fooled, kids. You can't touch the characters.
Don't climb in through the screen.
It's not safe in there.
No, and things can't climb out of the screen and get you either.
So don't worry.
Don't panic.
Yeah.
Sleep soundly.
It looks awesome actually as well. I'm quite impressed with.
It's cool. Yeah, there's lots of cool vistas and lots of depth there. I quite like the vine bridges. There's an area called the Elder Forest, and it's kind of a ruined old civilization, but it's been kind of taken over and vine choked and kind of fallen trees, and you see bits of statues and kind of glimpses of past glory in there, and so there are a few standing structures still, but it's all very overgrown. At some point you can actually end up walking over these big suspended vine bridges, and you're looking down these really cool vistas to these areas below, whether they're sort of sunken into swamps or half drowned, but because you're obviously suspended up above it, you get this kind of cool vertiginous drops down.
We're throwing out all the words
today. All the words.
This podcast is not just informative about the game. You're learning about the English language as well.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think we probably covered like enough for this on that before we drill down into other things in later episodes. But one thing I do want to mention is actually where we are and what's going on now. So we've just announced, we've got the website up. This is just stage one of our website at this point. There's a lot of stuff planned going forwards. And I can't believe we just had someone... Sorry, everyone, I'm just going to stop there because my train of thought's just been broken by someone just running into the podcast room there.
I think he thought that something had got out of the screen because of the 3D.
Absolutely madness.
He looked terrified. I think he was being chased by
him. It is what happens. It's probably not important. What was I saying? The website. Yeah, so this is stage one of the website.
There will be a stage two.
There will be a stage two, and stage two is going to get very exciting. We'll talk about that in later episodes because we've got some amazing stuff planned for the game, and it will very much work in conjunction with the game. At this stage, though, come onto the website. We've got loads of stuff you can do. You can sign up, grab your own profile, and, you know, make friends, whatever, chat on each other's walls. Check out all the cool news that we've got. We've got news going up there practically every day. That's not true, but very, very nearly every day. And there's always stuff to look out for.
Get all the cool usernames before they're gone.
Get all the cool usernames, yeah, exactly. So
otherwise you're going to have a load of numbers after your name, and no one wants that.
No one wants to be Froglord416671.
Froglord.
Exactly, the Froglord.
Froglord.
Yeah. And the Froglord, the official Froglord, the one and only Froglord, the real Froglord. But, you know, reserve that now, Froglord, if you're out there.
Yeah, sorry, Froglord.
But one of the other things you can do on the website at the moment, which is quite cool, is we've got everyone that joins up gets a special XP bar on their profile page, which by doing certain things on the website, they can earn XP.
Hey, what does that stand for?
I've absolutely no idea. I think it's excellent points.
Excellent point.
And by doing these certain tasks, we're not listing what they are, but there's things you can do, interact with the site, you will earn an amount of XP, and that will get you something very special later down the line. I'm not going to go too much into that at the moment. You can dig around on the site to find out a little bit more, but definitely get involved. It's worth doing. We've also got an amazing competition up on the site at the moment for you to win a custom 3DS. Al, you like the 3DS?
I love the 3DS.
Cosmos Black or Aqua Blue?
Cosmos Black, baby.
Exactly. But those aren't enough options.
No, we need more options.
You know? Like. What if you could have a custom, one-of-a-kind...
In the world?
In the universe.
That's amazing.
Heroes
we
of
don't
Ruin
know enough about the
3DS.
Universe to say that.
That's true, actually. I know it's expanding. And in many ways, this is a process of that. It's expanded to incorporate...
So we're expanding it
Heroes of India
via custom 3DS.
That's basically it, yeah.
Awesome.
So we've got, yeah, you've got the option to win a one-of-a-kind Heroes of Ruin 3DS.
But how is it custom, Mike? How?
It's got custom artwork.
Artwork? I love artwork.
It's got custom artwork. We haven't got a final thing back yet, but it's going to look awesome, and it's going to be a one-of-a-kind thing, and it's easy. So you can go onto the website, click the competition button on the front page, and you can enter that, and you might find yourself being the envy of all your friends with an amazing Heroes of Ruin 3DS.
Can Froglord enter?
Froglord can enter.
Oh, there you go, Froglord. You're clear for entry.
Froglord can enter, and so can Froglord 1.
Okay, no numbers higher than Froglord 1.
No, that's fine. So definitely check out the website, explore it. Basically, click on everything, is my advice.
Yeah, that's what I do as well.
I love it.
That's why I got thrown out of the Navy when I was on that nuclear sub. It was not good.
Dark.
Bad times. Career advice.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you're dealing with nuclear weaponry or any kind of control panel with more than 3 buttons.
Shocking.
Don't do it.
Apart from that, if you want to get in contact with us and just ask us any questions or just give us some feedback on the podcast or whatever, you can obviously get into the Heroes of Ruin forums that are on the website. Email us heroesofruin@square-enix.com.
You've got all the right words and numbers and dashes today.
And we will be back very, very soon with episode 2 of the fantastic future award-winning podcast for Heroes of Ruin. Thanks very much for listening.
See you later.